speaker will be Michael Geiter.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you a lot. Thanks a lot. And of course, first of all, I would like to thank the organizers giving me the occasion to come for the first time to this famous place. It's quite enjoyable, no? I suppose all will agree. I will try to give you a sort of panorama about the occurrence of product systems in quantum dynamics. I mean, after all, the theme is quantum dynamics of this workshop. Already in the Hilbert space case, there's no hope to give a panorama in just 1 hour. Yeah. So this means this is not to offend those who work mainly on product systems of Hilbert spaces, but restricting to Hilbert modules where less is known makes it more achievable to come to some point in 1 hour. Yeah. Okay. Let us first say what we understand by reversible quantum dynamics. We will mean an E0 semigroup. An E0 semigroup is a semigroup of unital endomorphisms of this algebra. So this algebra is in particular unital. You might object, why semigroups if it is reversible? It is just think of it as the restriction from a bigger algebra where you have a really automorphism evolution to some future observable subalgebra. It is the restriction to this subalgebra that gives the interesting product systems. The product systems of automorphisms will be trivial. This is why when we speak about product systems, we usually prefer proper E0 semigroups. And irreversible quantum dynamics is usually modeled as a quantum dynamical semigroup. This is a unital semigroup of unital CT maps on C star von Neumann algebra B. And here it's rather important that it is a unital C star algebra. I'm speaking to an audience in quantum dynamics, so I say quantum dynamical semigroup. If this was a talk on quantum probability, I would say Markovian semigroup or Markov semigroup. So this is synonymous. Quantum dynamical semigroup, Markov semigroup is the same. Okay. Oh, yes. Both sorts of dynamics give rise to product systems. More often than not, product systems of Hilbert modules. So it is interesting to find out what sort of information gives the product system about the dynamics. No? Now, some examples. Don't worry about precise definitions. This is just introduction. Yeah? If you have an E0 semigroup on such an star algebra A, for instance, C star for Neumann algebra, this is already a Hilbert module. This is the inner product, and the right action is just usual multiplication. But when we have an endomorphism of A, we can let X, the algebra from the left, we are this endomorphism. And if you define the tensor product on elementary tensors like this, this is a first simple example of a product system of correspondences over A. Correspondence, once for all, we have had this already, means a right Hilbert module with the left action of the algebra on the left. No? Okay. And I call such product system, I call an A one-dimensional, because the module dimension is one product system. And this has to be sharply distinguished from the trivial product system. What would be the product system? Either if you have the identity or isomorphic. Isomorphic means by an inner automorphism group. So this you have always. If A is now B of H, then well, the beginning of product systems in the well-specified sense, I mean, factorizable families of Hilbert spaces appeared in the end of the 60s already. Yeah? But the concise notion of product system was when Bilavisen discovered that with an E0 semigroup on B of H, you can associate a product system of Hilbert spaces E prime. And in 96, Raja Batu, unfortunately cannot be here, Raja Batu constructed also a product system of Hilbert spaces. It will be quite important for this talk to see that they are by far not equal, though all fibers of this bundle are isomorphic. No? In fact, they are anti-isomorphic. No? So the construction in the way Barth is doing can be interpreted as a sort of Morita equivalence of product systems. In fact, it is a Morita equivalence from this one-dimensional B of H product system to the Morita equivalent, well, C is, the complex numbers are Morita equivalent to B of H. No? Now, we will see this later in slightly more detail. While the construction following Avison is a matter of calculating some commutant. No? And also this is in a twofold sense, because C is the commutant both of the complex numbers themselves represented on the one-dimensional Hilbert space C, but it's also the commutant of B of H represented on H. No? And also this is important. Mm? Well, I said already, I will speak about modules, and I apologize to everybody who is working with product systems on Hilbert spaces for the reasons it is impossible to include everything in very little time. Yeah? I will speak about Hilbert spaces when either the module case can help sort out the better differences in the Hilbert space case, or when the Hilbert spaces can serve as motivation for how it looks like if we investigate modules then. No? The approach following Barth generalizes to the case when A is the algebra of all adjointable operators on a Hilbert module. And the result is a product system of correspondences over B, or I should say E is a module, a Hilbert module over B. No? While the approaches, both approaches and their relationship can be generalized only for Neumann modules, so suitably defined modules, Hilbert modules over von Neumann algebras. No? The approach following Avison will in fact give rise to a product system of correspondences over the commutant of the algebra B. Now, so far this was reversible dynamics. Now, what about irreversible dynamics? If we have a CP semigroup, not necessarily unital on B, then Raja Barth and I constructed a product system of correspondences over B. This there's a coupling. A unit of elements in this product system that factor according to the product system structure in such a way that the CP maps can be recovered as matrix elements in this way. We will call this the DNS system of the CP semigroup T. While Muley and Solel have constructed a product system E prime, in fact, in the von Neumann case, in fact, over the commutant of B prime. No? Well, if T is already an E0 semigroup, It's of course a CP semigroup. No, when you apply the construction for CP semigroups, what you find out is exactly a one-dimensional product system, namely left the algebra with left action via the endomorphism, as the first example. No? Now, often E0 semigroups on this algebra A. And so reversible dynamics and irreversible dynamics, CP semigroup, Markov semigroup on B, are related in that one is a dilation of the other. By this we mean that B actually is a subalgebra of A, and we have a conditional expectation onto this subalgebra. And well, if you restrict the E0 semigroup to B, and this goes into A, and then you compress back to B, this gives you your CP semigroup. Mm. Now, having a conditional expectation, so this is in particular a CP map, one of the first papers about Hilbert modules possibly non-commutative C-star algebras by Paschke provides us with a GNS construction. This is very simple to what we had above for the matrix elements for the CP semigroup. So we have a Hilbert B module, well, actually a correspondence from A to B. So a Hilbert B module with a left action of A and a cyclic vector in such a way that the conditional expectation is just the matrix element with this cyclic vector. Hmm? So in a sense, A is a subalgebra of BAE. Of course, it is a subalgebra only if the left action is faithful. But if the left action is not faithful, then usually, by usually mean in all examples I know, you can divide out the kernel and just restrict to the quotient. Most practically all structures that comes to my mind is preserved by such a procedure. No? Okay. Now, in this paper with Raja, we constructed the minimal dilation of T to an E0 semigroup, which acts on the algebra of all operators on a suitably constructed Hilbert module. It is this, okay, by abstract nonsense, it is the same because the minimal dilation is determined uniquely, but you can also see explicitly how the relations between the two dilations constructed are. And, well, you have a reversible dynamics on some Hilbert module. You can calculate the product system. And if it is the minimal dilation, then, of course, the product system is the same as the product system of the CP semigroup. Now, suppose the CP semigroup acts on B of H. Then also here an operation of Morita equivalence gives from the product system of B of H correspondences a product systems of C correspondences, so Hilbert spaces. And this is the product system as associated by Bill Arbison and Raja Bhatt to a CP semigroup. But in this frame, you first run through the dilation and then construct the product system of the dilating minimal E0 semigroup. Here you can do this directly without any dilation. No? And the commutant of this product system of B of H correspondences is a product system of C correspondences. In the sense, commutant of B of H is C. And it coincides with the commutant of the Bhatt system, in a sense I explain later. So the commutant of C correspondences with the representation of C on C. So they coincide. There will be to be said something about this. And many things I mentioned already in my talk 2001 in Mount Holyoke, and you can read it in the proceedings of this meeting. Now, well, we constructed from dynamics, we constructed product systems. So the converse problem, given a product system, is there a dynamics having this product system? The answer for CP semigroups, definitely not. The product system is generated by some unit. So this product system from the CP semigroup has a unit, and it must even be generated by this unit. The answer is definitely not, because there are product systems that do not have units. Not in the sharp sense for the Hilbert space case, but okay, this I will not be able to explain. No? So, but for E0 semigroups, the major result, I don't know, I suppose you agree, about product systems of Hilbert spaces is they come all from an E0 semigroup. No? And you see, Bilavasan developed a whole theory about this, about a C star algebra related to a product system. No? And in order to understand the statement that every Avesen system comes from an E0 semigroup, if you go through a complete representation theory for this C star algebra. No? So very impressive, and alone the theory is I think is a masterpiece. No? Then I think this is the next proof of which I am aware of this result, still quite complicated, from Liebscher, but it adds that this E0 semigroup can be chosen pure. I think this was an open problem before. Then in 2006 I found a self-contained proof in 10 pages, definitely not pure. And directly after, Bill came up with another proof in 6 pages. There's an unpleasant problem in my proof, checking certain associativity conditions. And I was quite happy that there's a proof available which does not have this problem. It is slightly less self-contained, I would say. I mean, this proof, I think, a last year undergraduate student can understand the functional analysis he knows in his third year maybe should be sufficient. While to go here back to the basics, you need to understand a good deal of Hille Phillips. So not as elementary, I think. No? And in the end, the two E0 semigroups you obtain in both constructions are the same. No? So it is really, you can use Bill's idea to make a simpler, approachable proof, still simpler. Yeah. So now we have quite tight proofs of this fundamental fact. No? Using the ideas, and I really should say mainly this approach here from Bill, I produced two versions for product systems, for continuous product systems of Hilbert modules. I will give you a definition later. They are dual in the sense that one gives an E0 semigroup that has this product system, and the other one gives an essential representation of that product system. The distinction is, for Hilbert spaces, no distinction. Well, if you switch left and right in tensor products. For modules, the distinction is crucial, because the representation of the product system gives you an E0 semigroup only if you speak about von Neumann modules. While for an E0 semigroup in the Hilbert module case, you really need the other side of the coin. No? And new, I would like to announce the result for von Neumann modules, for strongly continuous product systems of von Neumann modules. that have a strongly continuous normal E0 semigroup on some BAE, what gives back the product system. Okay, so far the lengthy introduction. Now the program of the rest is, well, I discuss this duality of two different approaches. I discuss for B of H. Because this is probably, I mean, also if you don't know Hilbert modules, this is something I think that can be understood even immediately. So, two ways to deal with the representations of B of H give two ways to construct product systems, namely Arvesen's and Barth's. Next, I will discuss the generalization of Barth's approach to Hilbert modules. Then I have to explain some basic about von Neumann modules. I mean, von Neumann modules are my way to look at W star modules. I don't know why. I mean, historically, von Neumann algebras have been first. Then there came W star algebras by the abstract definition of Sakai. I don't know why for Hilbert modules the story went the other way around. But I think, well, let us see in how far I can convince you that this is a good deal more elementary than having to go through rather abstract W star modules. Okay, this will take some time. Once we have this, we can consider the generalization of Arvesen's approach in the von Neumann module case. Oh, I forgot. Yeah. The generalization of Barth's approach means something I call the left dilation of a product system. And it is almost the same as having an E0 semigroup. While right dilation is really synonymous to having a representation of that product system. Well, by fundamental theorems, I mean theorems that guarantee existence of left or right dilations. So in this section, I will discuss mainly left dilations because, well, I will discuss one case of a right dilation, but in the von Neumann, this is just changing under duality I call commutant. Of a von Neumann correspondence. And if there is some time left, I'm not too optimistic looking to the clock, I will run through the, in a few minutes, through the basic classification. Basic, really basic, because classification is an open problem even for Hilbert spaces. So you cannot expect more in the module case than you have in the Hilbert space case. But basic classification means the types and what is a spatial product system and some consequences. If I don't find the time for this, you may consult. This is the proceedings of the 2001 conference in Burg, where I think spoke about this. This is quite explicit. I think for a survey, I do not have written something better than this. And this is once more the Mount Holyoke proceedings from conference 2002. Okay. Well, let's get started. So suppose we have a normal and unital endomorphism of B of H. I mean, this means a representation of B of H on H itself. And you know the normal representations are amplifications. So the representation space factors into H times some multiplicity space. But you can write this multiplicity space on the right side, and you can write it on the left side. This innocent observation will be important. Sorry that I discuss first Barth's approach, but it's that one that generalizes to Hilbert modules. We have to work harder to see what can be done about this side here. So this is what we want to show. The endomorphism is just amplification with this multiplicity space E here. We have to find a suitable E, and what Raja did is he chooses a unit vector. He applies, well, this is my, this is a rank one operator, no? Well, of course, I will also use this notation, no? Now, this is a rank one projection. You apply the endomorphism. This gives you a projection on H, and the multiplicity space is just the range of this projection. And then it is a quite simple exercise to check that this is isometric. In order to show that it is surjective, you need normality. Well, here you can use orthonormal basis. In the general case, you would need approximate units for your algebra. Well, the rank one of the finite rank operators have an approximate unit. This is essentially what you need. And on this side, you define this space of intertwiners for left action is via theta, and the right action is the identity action. You check that this is a so-called Hilbert space in Hilbert subspace in B of H. So the inner product takes values in the commutant of B of H, and this is just the multiple of the identities. This gives the inner product, and you check that this is it's easily checked that it's an isometry. For surjectivity, once more, you have to work a little. We will see a statement later for von Neumann algebras that contains the statement that this mapping is subjective. Okay, now, of course, these are isomorphic Hilbert spaces, but we will immediately see in the case of semigroups that they are quite different, because they will lead possibly to different product systems. And in the module case, they will even lead to bimodules, correspondences, over different algebras, one over B, one over B prime. Okay. Now, in the semigroup case, let's once more start here. This is the definition of the multiplicity space ET. So this is the isomorphism for every T, and you restrict it to that subspace ES of H, and this gives you a unitary from ES tensor ET to ES plus T. What it does is the same as before, just that you don't put arbitrary elements of H here, but you put elements from ES. On this side, this intertwiner space, the same definition, you have maps I call V prime T now. They are defined as before, and an isomorphism from E. T tensor ES, ET, E prime T tensor E prime S to E prime T plus S is simply multiplication. Recall that these are operators on H. You can multiply them. So no problem. Now, if, please observe that I switched orders of times. We will see this later, the origin of this different labeling in the different cases. Well, all possible iterations on this side, well, on the very left, you can apply VT instead of some UST. Yeah? So all these iterations you can write down are associative. And the same here for the U prime and the V prime. Yeah? But the product system E prime is not equal to E. Well, it is canonically isomorphic. It can be equal. It can be isomorphic in the sense. It is canonically isomorphic to the opposite of E. I did not yet put it to the archive, recently I wrote a survey that discusses this very carefully. No? I should put it to the archive, maybe even while I'm here. No? Boris Dirilson showed that these two need not be isomorphic. No? But I would like to mention that Powers and Robinson showed that there exist E0 semigroups that are not paired with themselves. Maybe I come back later to this notion of paired E0 semigroups. If you use one of Bilavasin's theorems, this means the product system is not anti-isomorphic. It's not isomorphic to its opposite product system. No? So, in a sense, an example confirming that they need not be equal follows already from this paper. No? Okay, now let us pass gradually to Hilbert modules. And as I said, so far we cannot discuss Bill's approach to the module case. So we start with what Raja did. But also here, we have two possibilities. Let us start with what Raja did. A Hilbert module. Oh, sorry, first the statement. You have a unital and strict endomorphism of B. No, homomorphism from BAE to BAF for a Hilbert B module E and a Hilbert C module F. This is something very helpful if you can keep the C-star algebras over which your modules are modules different. This helps you to sort out a lot of things otherwise you might be tempted to write down. So unital and strict is equivalent to that the action of the compacts alone on F is non-degenerative. Actually the finite rank operators. No? Under this hypothesis, what we want to show is that F factors into E tensor a BC correspondence F theta, and that theta, once more, is just amplification with this now not multiplicity space but multiplicity correspondence. No? Proof following Barth, choose a unit vector. But be careful, a unit vector is not just a vector of norm 1. It is a vector that has algebra-valued inner product 1. So this is much a harder condition than just choosing a unit vector. In fact, there are Hilbert modules that don't have a unit vector. The definition is the same, the range of this projection. What we have to add is we need a correspondence from B to C, so we need a left action of B. No? So what has to be added to Raja's approach is a left action, and please convince yourself that this defines a left action, and by an action on a module, I always mean a non-degenerate action. This is somewhat important. You should not speak about modules if the action of your ring is not non-degenerate. No. Speak of representation, but not of modules. Yeah. And the mapping is precisely the same as before. No. On the other hand, there's Riefeld's paper here, the other first paper about Hilbert modules. where he did almost the thing, but he did not do it for BAE, but for the finite rank operators on E. Finite rank operators are the swarm of those guys, like for in the Hilbert space case. Now, you can write F as the tensor product of the compact over the compact with F. Why can you do this? Because we require that the action of the compact alone is non-degenerate. Yeah? Now you know that the compact can be written as a tensor product E tensor E star. I mean, in the case of Hilbert spaces, E star are just the linear bounded functionals on the Hilbert space. No? Here, we simply take this sort of linear functionals. So E star is a space of elements labeled by the elements of E, and we put a star, and the meaning of star is exactly this. No? So put brackets around here. That means define this correspondence B, KE, KE, C. So this is the correspondence from B to C. This gives you the desired factorization, and it's easy to check that theta does what it should. No? If you wish a concrete, this is abstract. just by how to write down the compact and so on as a tensor product. But if you wish a specific isomorphism, this is one. This is a typical element from F theta, tensored with x from the left, it goes to this element. So it's very similar, just that here we have a fixed xi star, even a unit vector, and here we have y running through all elements of E. No? Here this is the structure of E star. This is the inner product. So you see this is indeed a rank one operator, the inner product. And this is the module action. Just switch it around with the star. No? Well, there are some technical differences. As I said, here E must have a unit vector. This means in particular that B is unital, a fact about which I'm not set. In particular, I do not define what the unit is if B is not unital. Just let it as a statement. I cannot discuss it here why, but there will not be a unit if the algebra is not unital. No? This is crucial. If we have such a unit vector, then we can identify F theta as a submodule of F. This will be important when we speak about continuous product systems. While here the construction is general, it works for arbitrary E and F. It is unique if E is full. Full means the inner product. The inner products of E generate the whole algebra B. No? But we don't have such an embedding. This is a completely abstract space. This F theta we are going to construct. It is not related in any way. For every xi here, you have a different embedding, you must check in how far the structure might depend. Fortunately, it does not. No? Okay. Now, if you do this for semi-groups of not homomorphisms from BAE to BAF, but from BAE to BAE, that is endomorphisms, then either construction, this construction on the left-hand side was less applicable, so where applicable, provides us with a family of full correspondences over B. E0 is B itself, and a family of bilinear unitaries, so a bimodular homomorphism apart from being unitary, from ES tensor ET to ES plus T, and such that this product is associative. No? And for time zero, we have the canonical identifications. It's quite important here, I mean, excluding the zero is somehow like speaking about semigroups without including continuity at zero. So you can do it, but whatever I say, T0 is included here. No? Apart from this, we call this a product system, and if we wish to emphasize that we don't put any technical conditions like continuity or measurability, we say algebraic product system. But usually, I will do it the other way around. I will say a continuous product system or measurable product system if I put technical conditions. Apart from that, we have a family of unitaries from E, tensor ET to E, that give back the E0 semigroup. This family iterates associatively with the product system structure. Once more, canonical identification. We say such a pair, E must be full. This is for the sake of uniqueness. Necessarily, the product system will be full if such a structure exists. Under this hypothesis, such a pair we will call a left dilation. No? I mean, in the case of Hilbert spaces, it just means that your E is not a zero-dimensional Hilbert space. Now, if we have a left dilation, you simply define an E0 semigroup in that way. And this E0 semigroup, no matter how you calculate it, has the product system that is dilated. If the left dilation has already been constructed from an E0 semigroup theta, then the left dilation gives back the E0 semigroup. And if you have two dilations to the same Hilbert module, of the same product system, then the E0 semigroups generated by these left dilations will be co-cycle conjugate. No? Or if you reformulate it, in other words, two E0 semigroups on the same BAE have the same product system if and only if they are co-cycle conjugate. This is the same result as for Hilbert spaces. However, for Hilbert spaces, this is exhaustive, this statement, because the Hilbert spaces in built setting are assumed infinite dimensional and separable. So there's essentially one Hilbert space up to isomorphism. There can be non-isomorphic Hilbert modules having E0 semigroups with the same product system. There can even be non-isomorphic operator algebras having the same product system. But if the operator algebras are equal, this is actually a slightly more general setting where co-cycle conjugacy applies, then we can say, even if the algebra is not the same, if the operator algebras on the two modules involved are strictly isomorphic, if you apply the representation theory, you find a correspondence from B to C, and you find a correspondence from C to B from the inverse of the isomorphism, and those two are inverses under tensor products, so they are the Morita equivalents M and M star. No? An E0 semigroup theta on the first module and an E0 semigroup, other theta, on the operators on the other module are co-cycle conjugate. I don't give the definition because it's obvious. If and only if the product systems E of theta and F of the other theta are Morita equivalent. Here I should have quoted, the definition of Morita equivalence for correspondence is from Paul Mullian and Baruch Solel. in the sense that you obtain FT by conjugation with the Morita equivalence. And an example is take B of H. As E take the von Neumann B of H module B of H, so that the operators on this von Neumann module are also B of H, then the product system is just the trivial one, not the trivial one, the B of H one-dimensional one. While the BART system of this E0 semigroup can be obtained from this ET by Morita equivalence with the correspondence H from B of H to C. This you can check. Everything what I wrote down here will work for von Neumann modules, so also W star modules, by making the necessary notational and technical modifications. So we come now to the discussion of von Neumann modules as we need them in order to generalize also build approach to the von Neumann case. Okay. So let me first repeat what in general there are more equivalent definitions, but this is probably the most used definition nowadays. A W star module is a Hilbert module over a W star algebra that is self-dual. Self-dual means that the bounded right bilinear B functionals with values in B are obtained as inner products. So the Ries theorem holds. Paschke and Riefel showed that every pre-Hilbert module over W star algebra admits, well, a unique minimal extension, in the sense you emerge it into a W star module, and this will be dense in every reasonable topology different from norm topology. The problem is how to find it. Paschke does this abstractly, and he has to work rather hardly. This is really. Riefel, this is already very close to what I will call von Neumann modules. It's just he does not use it as definition, and nobody really worked with that definition. In particular, you will see von Neumann modules will be in particular strongly closed operator spaces. And I did not find it anywhere. Otherwise, I would quote it if anybody has a reference. Okay, so now B is a von Neumann algebra. By definition, this means a concrete operator algebra acting non-degenerately on some Hilbert space. If I have a different Hilbert space, a different representation, then it will not be the same von Neumann algebra. Compute this tensor product of E with this. Well, it's a B C module, C complex numbers. So this is a Hilbert space. Embed E into the operators from G to H, where X on an element G in the Hilbert space G just by tensor product. And if you don't know it, it's instructive exercise to check that the inner product can be recovered just by this operator multiplication. So my definition is a Hilbert or pre-Hilbert module over a von Neumann algebra B is a von Neumann module if it is strongly closed in this operator space. The first important result is that every von Neumann module is self-dual, and in particular a pre-Hilbert module is a W star module over a von Neumann algebra is a W star module if and only if it is a von Neumann module. So the definition is compatible with the definition of W star modules. Excuse me? Sorry, I can't hear you. I think this should be over AW star algebras. Or yes. Yes. Maybe one can compare. Yes. No. Okay. Thanks. Okay. Now some immediate consequences. The strong closure in this operator space of a pre-Hilbert module over for Neumann algebra is the smallest self-dual extension, and as such, this is algebraic, it is unique. Some pleasant properties, rather hard to prove in the abstract setting, if you don't embed into an operator, into space of operators between Hilbert spaces, is that a submodule of a von Neumann module is strongly dense if and only if it has zero complement. Or more generally, the von Neumann submodule generated by a subset of a von Neumann module is the double complement. No? So in that abstract case, you cannot do this without defining some sigma topologies being the analog of the sigma weak topology actually in this B of G to H. No. Okay, one more. what happens if you have already a subspace of operators between Hilbert spaces? So I give you the definition of concrete von Neumann module. So it's a subspace of operators from G to H that is a right B module. It has an you can define an inner product in that way. Well, it should act non-degenerately, otherwise throw away whatever is not reached from H and choose a smaller H. The fourth, it is strongly closed. I mean, 1, 2, 3 could be a concrete pre-Hilbert module. So the difference is just strongly closed. So what happens if our Hilbert module over a pre-Hilbert module over a B over von Neumann algebra is already an operator module? Well, in this case, we have that the tensor product we used on the slide before is canonically isomorphic to H because of this non-degeneracy condition by this mapping here, and strong closure, of course, under unitary equivalences turns over to strong closure. No. So concrete von Neumann module is a von Neumann module. No? In the tensor product picture, you can embed the operators by amplification into the operators on H. So if you go back to the picture of concrete von Neumann module, you have BAE as an operator acting on H defined in that way, just shift brackets. No? If in the tensor product you have two factors, so you can try to embed operators on the other factor, and the only operators you can embed easily are the bilinear operators. Bilinear on G means it should intertwine the action of B, but this is exactly the commutant. No? So you have, for every element in the commutant, you can amplify this bilinear operator. This means if you can, on the concrete von Neumann module picture, you can define a normal unital representation of B prime on H in that way. Here brackets are not important. This is composition of mappings. No. This representation we call the commutant lifting. No? So why do I insist so much on this concrete von Neumann module? Because certain identifications on the next page will be really one-to-one. It will be isomorphisms of categories, while if you use von Neumann modules as I defined before, it will be just equivalences of categories. I want isomorphisms. I want really true one-to-one identifications of certain objects. Well, I should run a little. Okay, it's also, this is an interesting exercise to calculate this double commutant of the linking algebra here. And you find in the von Neumann case that if you define this intertwiner space, the space of operators from G to H that intertwine the canonical actions of B prime, gives you the strong closure of a pre-Hilbert module. In particular, if E is a von Neumann module, then it must be equal to this intertwiner space. This identifies also the operators on the module as the commutant of the range of rho prime. So, von Neumann module representation of von Neumann B module representation of B prime, and you obtain back the von Neumann module as intertwiner space. What if you start with a representation? If you have a representation, then you can nevertheless define this intertwiner space. This gives you a Hilbert module over the von Neumann algebra. The crucial point is non-degenerateness, and this is a lemma from Paul Muley and Baruch Solel. I cannot give any detail. But what you have is what I said already in Mount Holyoke, up to equivalence and now really one-to-one. The category of concrete von Neumann B modules with the obvious morphisms and the category of representations of B prime with the obvious morphisms are, well, not only equivalent as stated in Mount Holyoke, but they are really isomorphic. Now, you can do the same. Well, if you have another von Neumann algebra and the correspondence from A to B, another von Neumann algebra A, then you have a representation of A on H just by composition with the embedding of BAE into B of H. You obtain the category of concrete von Neumann correspondences from A to B, and I call this con correspondences. I'm sorry, I cannot explain why, but who has seen correspondences in the sense of con, there are pairs of representations that with commuting range and so. A concrete von Neumann correspondence gives a pair of representations. Now switch the roles of the algebras, and what you obtain is, well, this is a representation of B prime, whose intertwiner space gives a B module. Now we calculate the intertwiner space for the action of A, and this gives an E prime module with a canonical left action of B prime via rho prime. So we have a functor between the concrete one-to-one functor between the category of concrete von Neumann correspondences from A to B and from B prime to A prime. This has been discussed also by Muley and Solel, and it would be in their nomenclature, what I'm doing here would be called it A, it B dual. Okay, let us switch the instances. Many quite well known and also some new results in the literature can be integrated in this frame rather canonically. This is a page dedicated to structures related to the product system. This is something I explained in Mount Holyoke. You can define as Bill did the intertwiner space for the action of an E0 semigroup on BAE embedded into B of H. This is important. For instance, Remus would be interested to take not X in B of H, but X in the von Neumann algebra itself. So what he obtains is a slightly restricted class of inner endomorphisms, if I remember well. No. Oh, yes. But okay, under this commutant, the two constructions flip into each other. I'm sorry, I cannot explain details. And in particular, a left dilation will be turned into something I call right dilation of a product system, and this is synonymous with representation. If you have a left and a right dilation, then you have an inner automorphism group on a suitable B of H that restricts. This is an older result of Aves and Kishimoto, proved in a completely different way now. And I'm sorry, I cannot explain even one of the proofs of the existence of an E0 semigroup. I'm very sorry. No? Okay, no chance. I have to stop here.